Like, it's over for them.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Inside Outlook. I'm Stephanie Zoe, and I'll be your host for today's episode.
Hi, I'm Rui. I'm the editor-in-chief of Asian Outlook, and here to talk about the writer's strike.
Yes. For those who don't know, the writer's strike was a 148-day long strike led by the Writers Guild of America, otherwise known as WGA, for better compensation and protection. On September 25th of last year, the strike ended with an agreement that gave writers better protection against the usage of artificial intelligence and offered screenwriters better financial gains. Rui, seeing as you have written a newsletter about the writer's strike in the past, I wanted to ask, when did you first hear about it and what was your initial reaction to the strike?
I first heard about it over the summer. I think I actually found it through a YouTube video because I've like seen it like on the news because I have like the Apple News subscription. I get like updates every day, right? So I heard about it, but I didn't really think that deeply about it until I forgot which YouTuber, but they did a video essay on like the stuff that led to the writer's strike and also like the issues around it and like what it meant for TV. So I was like, I thought that was like a pretty good thing. Because especially considering, like, you know, like, all the issues, which is, like, for the past, like, decade or so, a lot of streaming services and stuff have made it so that, like, TV writers and writers' rooms were a lot more detached. And also, a lot of writers, they wouldn't get royalties for the stuff that they would write, which is, I think royalties is when you, like, after the show, like, runs its course, you still get paid, like, for, like, reruns and stuff. Yeah.
It's, like, additional, like, a certain percentage that gets paid to you, right?
Yeah, so it's, like, actual compensation. And that's the kind of stuff that, like, helps writers, like, survive, like, in between gigs. So kind of, like, having that diminished was really harmful to them, especially, like, smaller writers. And, yeah, so I thought, like, it was a good move, and I was hopeful, but also like kind of like stay on the edge of my seat, like, oh, like what's gonna happen next.
Adding on to what you said previously, are there any other like motivations behind the strike that you know of, or are those like the primary ones that you're aware of?
So there was also like the issue of AI, which I think has been like a really big focal point in a lot of aspects of art and media for the past couple of years. So yeah, that was a really big thing. And there was also, I know there are a lot of other factors, but I'm just not kind of working on them right now.
That's all right. Do you know, like, about the outcome of the strike at all? Like, new benefits or protections they were able to get out of the strike?
So, towards the end of September, the Writers Guild of America, which is a labor union for screenwriters and, like, streaming services and, like, streaming companies, entertainment companies, they reached an agreement that ended the strike. I think, like, there were talks about it for, like, the entire week before because there were, like, negotiations that kind of fell through. In the end, they reached a three-year contract agreement. Oh, I just remembered. So there was, like, some issue with, like, the proposed contract of, like, the entertainment companies that were given to the writers, and they like thought it was also like really unfair. So that was like a big point of contention. They were using the strike kind of as a leveling ground. I'm not sure if that's the correct phrase, but they were using that to like kind of force the entertainment companies to
rewrite the contracts.
Yeah, and give them like more power and like more of a say in what the writers are getting. So yeah, there was like some, there were like protections about AI and like limitations on AI usage in screenwriting, and also the writers are getting better residual payments, which is the like checks I was talking about earlier, were like royalties, and they also got better wages, which is also very important because the like rise of streaming services has been it. So like since like writers' rooms were a lot more detached and they wouldn't like meet as often, to my knowledge, the like less hours worked made it so that the writers would get paid less.
Speaking of writers' rooms, like could you go more in depth about like what exactly they are and like what they do?
Tyler will probably have a more like well-rounded take mm-hmm. on this, but from what I know, it's basically just like when screenwriters, they have like the concept of a TV show, right? Like the producer like has like a concept and they like get screenwriters. So it's basically where like the writers all like sit and like just like write and like kind of like share ideas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's also like the space where they can like kind of like go through like ideas and also like scripts and like specific like lines and stuff and like see like, oh, like what works, what doesn't. And then, yeah, like make like edits and changes to the process, like during the process. And the kind of like taking away of that made writers a lot less involved in the production and also like less like collaborative. So there was like a little bit of blame like put on that, on like why like shows on like internet networks like Netflix and stuff are kind of like worse now than they used to be.
Is it like the entire thing about like book adaptations, like movie adaptations, is just like
a little bit, I think, maybe, because it was also, I think, like there was, I'm not sure like where exactly this plays into, like what part this exactly plays into, but it used to be that writers would be on set and they could like, oh, like the actors like say something and it sounds like really awkward and bad, right? So like, okay, like let's change this. But over time, as writers became like less involved or like streaming services and like companies like made it so that writers would be less involved, there wouldn't be that type of input. So then like there can be like moments where there's like awkward lines or like, awkward like, or like really like strange like dialogue, and it just doesn't really get like corrected.
Oh, okay. So it's like they write the script beforehand, but they can't see how the actors are write like acting out the script, or if like any ad libs they have are like corresponding to the character, right? So that leads to decrease in quality. So that's one of the things they were fighting for in the strike. That makes a lot of sense.
Because it's also, like, as a writer, I feel like every writer, like, has, like, a vision, right? And I write, like, mostly literary stuff. I don't really write, like, scripts or, like, I don't really do, like, much screenwriting. But I've had friends, like, I had friends in high school who would, like, kind of, like, write scripts for plays and, like, theater productions. And for those things, it's, like, you, when you're, like, writing, right, when you're, like, writing dialogue, you have a vision, and you, like, know, like, what's going on in your head, but it might not, like, translate.
Oh, translate directly
like,
to
the yeah, like, words. On stage or, like, on screen. So you have to, like, go and be, like, oh, like, this is actually how, like, I want it to be done, right? But then if the writer gets, like, taken out of that equation,
it's just the actor and a piece of paper, and no one knows what to do.
So there's also, like, this thing where, like, recently, there's been, I don't know, I've heard, like, people on TikTok discussing, like, Euphoria and the lines, and, like, the, yeah, like, the lines that the actors get in Euphoria, and they're like, oh, like, the dialogue is so bad, but the, like, actors bring it out, and they make it shine. So, it's, like, bad dialogue, but really good actors, right? But if you get mediocre dialogue and mediocre actors, then it just
gets worse and worse.
Yeah, right? It just kind of gets worse and worse. So like that kind of stuff like really depends. But yeah, I think like as a writer, you kind of like, you have like that like vision, right? But then like not being as involved in the vision as you could be, and also not being properly compensated for that, is also like more like a personal like of contention that a lot of writers probably had like during the strike, like leading up to the strike.
It makes a lot of sense, and I think that was very informative because I did not know a lot of that. Going back to one of the previous points you made about the problem of AI, are you aware of the new updates to like Meta X or like Google Suite, and how like they have access to all your like tweets or like documents so that they could use that to like train their AI to help users write tweets of their own, or
I've heard the Google thing, like Google Suite like has like can like access like a lot of like everything, right?
Yeah.
So there was like some there was like intellectual property, like stuff like being brought up about that. But with Meta and X, I haven't heard about that.
I think it's more recent because I remember hearing about, I think, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. They were both like developing AIs to like be used in their respective platforms. And I think there was a huge outrage a month or two back about how they didn't like how they were using AI, like that were trained on like the artworks that people post or like the tweets that people wrote. Do you think the new protections against AI that came out with this new like writer strike agreement would serve to protect online writers against these kind of AIs?
To my knowledge, I don't think so, because the agreement was like a contractual agreement between the Writers Guild of America and like those entertainment companies. So it only really be protecting screenwriters like in Hollywood, and screenwriters that are part of a union. Like if you're a non-union screenwriter and non-union, or like a non-union writer in general, I think that like it's still very up in the air. So yeah, and also I think it's like, since it's just between entertainment companies and the writers, like what entertainment is like, basically the entertainment companies won't replace their writers with AI, right? Where they won't let AI take too big of a role. But I don't know if intellectual property, like regarding AI, was discussed in the contract. So, not sure.
So there's still like the possibility of their work getting stolen from online and then the company just not paying them, right?
Yeah. Or like the like the social media company or the like whatever company like does a database, like say like Google. I don't think they'll get paid. It's one of those things that's like you can't, because like social media like sites like platforms and platforms like Google, they're like, or like Office or whatever, they like have those like really like long terms and agreements things that like get updated like periodically, and people don't really look through them. They just like scroll and like click okay. But so then like by doing that, you just agree to everything. Like they can be like, they can like sneak in a little line. I was like, oh yeah, like whatever you use on our platform is ours, and you're just like okay. So then if you try to sue them, they can be like, well,
you agree.
Look at what you, look at what you signed. So yeah, I think it's one of those things where like government involvement is needed to like actually like enforce stuff. I remember, I think a couple of weeks ago or like last month, maybe this month, there was like, like Biden like did like something about AI. He said something about AI, like executive order, whatever. Actually, let me search it up.
Go for it.
Oh yeah, so on October 30th, so it was like months ago, Biden like signed an executive order on the safe, secure, and trustworthy development and use of artificial intelligence. And it was basically like, okay, my administration places the highest urgency on governing the development and use of AI safely and responsibly, and is therefore advancing a coordinated federal government-wide approach to doing so. Okay, so basically, it aimed to protect Americans from AI-enabled fraud and deception by establishing standards and best practices for detecting AI-generated content and authenticating official content. So I think this was mostly about the like misinformation that would be spread with AI. I think the one that like comes to my mind right now is the picture, the AI-generated picture of Donald Trump getting arrested.
Oh, last year, yeah, I do.
And then like everyone was like, oh my god, everyone like believed it. Like I was also like, oh my god, like he got dragged out.
That's, it was like so crazy. And then like it was revealed that it was AI generated, and I was, everyone's like, what, we didn't even know, you can't even tell.
And it's like if you look really closely at the details, you can tell, but like if you're scrolling on social media, you can't really, like it's not obvious, like you just like glance at it and you're like, oh. And you, like, observe that information, and you just, like, scroll past.
So, like, the problem with AI is, like, it's really dangerous, and if they are still being trained on the works of writers, it would only make it more convincing.
Oh, it's also like, okay, so let's say a writer like writes something that's like really, really like messed up, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know, it's like on some like, let's say like Stephen King writes another horror novel, and it's like the most like horrendous, jaw-dropping like horror novel of all time, and then Google's like, oh, let me trim my AI all this. But they turn it as, like, fact. Or, like, misinterpret it or something. Like, some error occurs. Then, like, what happens? Like, I'm not saying that it will happen, but it's, like...
If it happens, then a lot of people would probably receive a lot of misinformation. Especially with how many people are using AI nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Like, violent language, too. Because I know there was, like, a congressional hearing, like, senatorial hearing a couple weeks back. I think it was towards the end of January that was about, like, child safety on social media platforms, and a really big part, or like a really big problem that was like brought up was that they just like there was a lot of like violent language, like kind of like really like whack stuff like being like exposed to children that would kind of like encourage them to like kind of like just like go into like deeper and darker like holes. And there were even accusations that these like stuff on social media, like social media algorithms, like lead like depressed people, like depress like minors to commit suicide. Yeah.
That actually happened?
I don't know. It's like alleged, right? So like there's like parents that are suing with these like tech companies because like it's like you're like depressed and you like so you start liking like really sad stuff like on your feed and then it just kind of like starts like it just like pipelines into like really really like kind of like hopeless like oh like there's nothing for me anymore or whatever.
Yeah, but it's kind of like once you click like it just keeps going.
Yeah, like if you like even if you don't it's like you still like view them, you still like scroll through all of them. And it's like, oh, well, like, this person interacts with this content, and this person also shares this content. So let me just keep, like, feeding on this. So
so it just becomes a cycle of AI-generated nonsense. Speaking of, like, the dangers of AI, do you think the writers would go on strike, like, maybe sometime soon to fight for more protections against them? Or...
For the time being, no, because the contract has been solidified. Maybe in 3 years, like, when the contract ends, and then, like, when the contract ends and the media companies decide to, like, hey, we're gonna fire all of you. We're like, hey, actually, you know, it's like, you know, AI is actually kind of fire. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, no. But I think that that probably won't happen because... The writer's strike had, like, really, really, like, strong impacts, like, on Hollywood because it was, like, 180 days, right? Like, over 180 days. It's, like, half a year?
Yeah, that's half a year. It's
half a year. So, writing for a lot of TV shows got postponed, and then writing for a lot of movies got postponed. And just, like, for, like, a lot of, like, Hollywood stuff, late-night TV didn't run because all the writers were striking, and it kind of, like, set back a lot of production. And it's like, yeah, I guess, like, if AI, like, develops to the point, you don't need writers, right? You can just, like, okay, you guys can go on strike, and then we can just continue to generate whatever. But that's still not, I feel like, it's not going to be the same, and viewers will pick up on that, and they'll be like, oh, like, this is kind of weird. Like, TV shows are getting worse and worse, and they find out, it's like, the writers are not, it's not, like, humans writing.
Yeah.
Right? So, they're going to be like, and... I don't know, like, entertainment companies are still revenue-focused, they're still, like, it's called, like, profit-driven, that I think it'll be fine for maybe another 10 years. Because the last writer strike was, like, 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a really big one, like, in the end of the 2000s. And I think it was also about, like, big issues about, like, pay and stuff, but I'm not really sure. I don't know. The majority of what I know from that writer strike was when Conan, like, from Late Night, Conan O'Brien, he and his, like, writers, they were, like, they were all just, like, sitting around the office, like, just filming, because they weren't, like, writing, right? So he was just, like, chilling with them, like, in the building.
It's really chill. It was like, because I do remember like reading an article where there were like about the winners and losers of the writer's strike. There were a lot of TV hosts who like made sure to continue like paying their writers even while they were on strike at the cost of themselves. I think there was this very famous one where I think the actor told the writers that if they go to Bob's Burgers, he'll pay for everything. So he, like, the tab racked up to like 400k at the end.
Oh my god.
Because all the families, like the writers' families, would go to the restaurants because they didn't have an income. So they were able to like get food through that, which is honestly great. I feel like with the writer's strike, it kind of like surfaced like who was so profit driven, like, and who was like, I can't honestly, for some of the actors, I can't tell if they're doing it for their
image. But also the actors like union
also
like,
went
after, also went on strike, and it was for similar reasons. So I think that I don't know, it really depends, but I think like issues like this mostly affect like smaller writers, smaller actors, because like actors who are really, actually no, that's not true. There was this Black Mirror episode that it was like from the most recent season where it was like this like TV show, right, that was being filmed about someone's life, but it was like all AI generated with the likenesses of celebrities.
That sounds like it could ruin a lot of future job opportunities.
It was like, it was also like they would make the celebrities, the likenesses of the celebrities, do like really really gross and like weird stuff, and then like in like the actual like real world, the celebrity was like suing them for like whatever, and they're like, no, you signed this contract, that's how we could use your likeness.
My god, you'd have to like read the fine print then, because the companies would definitely sneak something in.
But yeah, it was really interesting that Netflix
pointed it out.
That it was like Netflix sponsored. It's like Black Mirror is a Netflix show. And I was like, the irony. But yeah. So the actors also went on strike. I think it was like similar issues of like payment, like workers' rights, intellectual rights, and then also like standing in solidarity with the writers. Because the writers and actors obviously like work really closely together.
I guess now I kind of want to ask like maybe a question that's a little off topic but kind of related. As editor-in-chief, you look over all like the submissions for AO, right? Have you ever received a piece that was like definitely AI generated, and how did you like really deal with that?
Fortunately, no, I have not. Or I really hope I have not, because you know what would also be really embarrassing and like really like terrible, if like someone submitted something that was AI generated and I read through it and I was like, this is fire, let me put it in the bag. Like
no,
like thinking about that makes my like skin crawl. But also I think it's very important that I trust the contributors and also trust like everyone on eboard to like
not use
to not use AI, to like put in the effort, because I don't know, it's also like if you, it's like everyone's creative, like in some way, shape, or form, right? And our magazine has like a bunch of ways to express the creative outlets, because we publish art, we publish like digital and
hand
like, know, like digital and like physical.
Physical.
We publish digital and physical art, publish like poetry, prose. With prose, you can do like op-eds, you can do creative writing pieces, and you can also do like just, I don't know, like yapping about whatever. I know Josh, for his most recent submission, he wrote about dystopian books. And that's not, that's like short story, and then we also got like short story about like the future and like a dystopian future from Carmen. And like me and Anna did interviews, right? So it's like book review, essay thing, creative writing piece, and an interview. So it's like all like different forms of expression through writing that did require like creative thinking like into it. So I don't know. I think that if you use like AI, it's kind of a cop out too. It's like you're just like not putting in the effort that everyone else is putting, so it's not really fair. And I think that, I don't know, I've stressed a lot of times that like if someone is caught using AI, AI, or if their piece like looks like it's AI or like whatever, or I find out they use AI, like it's over for them. It's so over. Because like, look, if you don't want to write, you can do photo, you can do art. If you don't want to draw or take photo, you can write something silly, or you can write something very serious and personal. As long as it fits the theme, and as long as like it's like good quality, it shows like good effort, it will be considered. And also like people can have other people submit on their behalf. So it's...
So there's a lot of like outs,
yeah,
for that.
A lot of outs.
With that, no, I feel like we've probably gone too off topic at this point. But it was whatever, like the information you provided today was very, I can't say the information was informative, right? How do I, okay. It was very insightful, very educational.
Awesome.
But thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast and sharing your insights on the writer's strike. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a very eye-opening experience. And to our Inside Outlook listeners, I hope that you were able to learn something from this podcast. And I hope that you guys are able to look forward to our next podcast that will feature Tyler
Vendetti,
who is a Hollywood writer herself. Thank you. Bye-bye.